We've got here the picture of Naomi and Ruth going back to Bethlehem, Ruth being a complete stranger, of course, but she joined herself very firmly to Naomi. And it's a picture, in a sense, like shadows and types, of where eventually Israel will be blessed, as Naomi is a type of Israel, and blessed once again with harvest. And then returning to the land, then she meets Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, a man of wealth and power and authority and kindness, and he very much takes Ruth to his heart without any doubt. Lovely love story, this, actually. And with that prophetic type, it's very wonderful to see that God does have a plan to redeem a remnant of Israel later on. I won't go into that now. But I want you to see that here eventually Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer and a wealthy man with much property, remember that when Naomi went out with her husband and two sons to Moab, she left behind all that she owned, maybe a farm, and wait 10 years, no doubt somebody else took it over, rightly or wrongly, and she lost her inheritance. And this is a picture of Boaz rescuing Naomi and her family and restoring her inheritance. In the same ways, when the Lord comes again, he will restore Israel to her inheritance in the land of Israel. Well, those are just types, which, again, prophetic truth from Ruth. So we have a very wonderful picture here. We'll just focus for a little while on Ruth, of course, here. Look, for example, she returns where there's now a barley harvest to be taken in, and in as it happened, shall we say, no coincidence in Scripture and God's planning. She happened to be in the field of Boaz, and he sees her and very gracious and kind to her, looks after her and protects her. So look, for example, in this second, let's look and focus on Ruth here. And in verse 6, the reapers were in charge, servants in charge of the reapers pointed out to Boaz, who'd asked, who is this? Oh, it's a young Moabitess woman who came back with Naomi from Moab, verse 6. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She came and continued from morning till now, though she rested a little in the house. This is a wonderful picture of Boaz being so kind to Ruth, because he wants to be kind to his own relative Naomi, obviously. And we've got the scene here where, in prophetic type, there's a day coming to again give rest not only to Israel, but also he's giving us rest. Ruth is a Gentile, and the Lord has promised us rest. I will give you rest. And that's a theme right through Scriptures here. And the same as Ruth is given rest by Boaz in his field. And so you and I know the rest and the blessing of the Lord in our salvation experience. We have the peace of God in our hearts. Peace from God. And there's a rest in that. A rest knowing we have eternal life. We have a glorious inheritance ahead of us with the Lord forever. Being able to be serving him as well, that's a great responsibility. Ruth comes, she does her cleaning, she takes what she has. And then it says, the end of verse 7 then, that she rested a little in the house. Belonging to Boaz, of course. And in verse 9, you can see more than that, what Boaz so kindly says to her. And this is the first time he met her and saw her. Didn't he know who she was? I mean, he was told who she was. And he says, let your eyes be on the field, verse 9, which they reap. Go after them, have I command you, young men, not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the vessels, drink from them. The young men are drawn. So he wanted to take care of her, not only giving a rest, but giving a refreshment. The Lord does that for us, you and me as well. And back down, further on into verse 11 through to 17, Ruth takes up so much of what she has. And Boaz, look in verse 11, Boaz, it's been fully reported to me all you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you've left your father, mother, and land of your breath, come to people with whom you did not know. The Lord repay your work. Mm-hmm. She did a labor of love for Naomi. Mm-hmm. Yes, she depended on her, of course, but she loved Naomi. She said, wherever you go, I'm going. Where you live, where I live, where you live, I will live. Where you die, I die. And nothing's going to part us. You see, and this is a wonderful picture in here. He said, the Lord repay your work. And he was a godly man, you see. Godly man. Kinsman, redeemer, godly man in Israel. The Lord repay your work, and full reward given you by the Lord God of Israel. And she was a Moabitess. She was originally a pagan. but drawn in, belong to Israel. Now we go into Matthew 1 in just a moment. Wonderful things in there, Matthew 1. You have come under the wings, if you like, of the Lord God of Israel. A full reward be given you, verse 12, by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge, and so we. Now you know later on, I mentioned this last week, I just remind you again. Yes, under the wing, the protective wings, and the Lord is pictured like an eagle looking after his own, and under whose wings, under protection, you've come for refuge. Now remember, I mentioned when we get further on into the story, of course, where during the time of the threshing of the harvest, I mentioned this last week, and obviously Ruth and Boaz becoming closer, that's obvious, and Boaz taking care of her, providing all her needs, rest, refreshment, food, grain, take what you want, you know, generosity. And when he goes to rest at night, and he draws over his covering, he comes in underneath the covering, you know, the pictures I mentioned last week of the church, protected by the Lord, floor of God is going on. And it's a picture of us being with the Lord before the tribulation begins, taking place on the earth. We're under Christ's wings, Christ's covering. We're so wonderfully put.
Hallelujah.
Now, Christians are being persecuted, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the main prospect of the church, which is that. And here she is. She is being rewarded here. You've come under the wings of the God of Israel. And then she said, verse 13, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. You've come for me, spoken kindly, and I'm not like one of your servants. I'm a pagan, though I've come in to Israel with Naomi, but really I'm come from the outside. And Boaz is so kind, he said, look, come and join us for a meal. I tell you, it's a wonderful meal coming with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
The marriage supper of the Lamb.
Praise God.
For the whole church. It's going to be a tremendous wedding breakfast, if you like. But, okay, I'm not anticipating a marriage yet, but here's Boaz. Look in verse 14. Come here, eat with the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he passed her parched grain, looking after her personally. And the Lord, who is the bread of life, looks after us personally, provides all our needs personally. So she sat beside the reapers, he passed parched grain to her, she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. In other words, if you like, he was being rewarded. And dear friends, we heard this about on Monday at the prophetic witness meeting about the beam of reward throne of Christ. You will be rewarded. Just like those ones in the parable looked at, those who had 5 talents or 2 talents, they were rewarded. So this is seen here as well. And here is Boaz. And even more than that, see, the Lord says, I come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. Look in verse 15. She rose up to glean. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and don't reproach her. Let some of the grain and butter fall purposely. Give her an abundance. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 10, can we? Right into the New Testament of John 10. You know where I'm going to be. I mentioned it just now. John 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. This is about the Lord Jesus being the good shepherd. He says, a thief doesn't come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. He gives abundance. Like Psalm 23, the Lord lays a table before us. And he always does. He does meet our needs. This is because Ruth had been faithful to her mother-in-law, and Naomi was a kinsman to Boaz, of course. Boaz and Elimelech must have been related, same family, and he was a man of great wealth. And so he says, I'm going to give you more than what you need. And she did. She harvested so much, she could take a lot more back to Naomi. You can see that. So that's what she said. She took all that she had, look at verse 70, gleaned in the field till the evening, beat her what she gleaned, about an ephah, barley, whatever that is, quite a lot. She took it and went up to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she gleaned, and brought out and gave to Luke what she kept back after she'd been satisfied. When Jesus fed the 5,000, how many baskets were left over?
A lot.
So it is, he's in abundance in his blessing. And of course, Naomi's full of questions on this. And the Lord, now Naomi, she said...
Back in Ruth now, are we?
Yeah, still in Ruth now, sorry, back in Ruth too. Naomi, when she came back to Bethlehem, the women around her said, is this Naomi? They hardly recognized. She suffered so much of the hardship in Moab, 10 years away. And she said, don't call me. So now this family is removed. And the blessing comes to Naomi through Ruth from Boaz. That's what Naomi says in verse 20 of Ruth 2. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be he of the Lord. Naomi's coming back to realize the Lord's in control. You know, see, in Esther, there's no mention of the Lord in action at all. the Lord's name is not even mentioned in Esther. The Lord's name is mentioned here, but you don't see the Lord in action, only indirectly. His name, then, you can see she's come back to it, focusing on the Lord. Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness, and the living and the dead. I mentioned living and the dead. Now, what do you think that is? Well, Ruth was living, but Naomi considered herself dead. Don't call me Naomi. Blessed means blessed. I went out into Moab, and I brought nothing back. Picture of Israel today, apart from the Messianic believers. Because when you get to Ezekiel 37, it's a valley of dry bones. Mm. And those bones were very dry. But they will come to life. The bones are coming together physically.
Yeah.
They're a nation today. Mm. But the Lord said, there's no spirit in them. Naomi was dead. Israel is spiritually dead.
Mm.
God is watching over Israel. Same as he's watching over this as well. This man is a relative of ours in verse 20. And what was Naomi's final comment in verse 22? Naomi said to Ruth, the daughter, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with these young women, and people do not meet you in any other field. She was in the field of Boaz. That was her protection. You and I are in the field of the Lord, and that's our protection.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to step outside of it. So she stayed close by to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest from March, April, right through to May, June. She was busy gleaning. Barley is at the time of Passover, March, April time, right through to Pentecost, the harvest at May and June period. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now that's very wonderful. So here's a picture of Ruth, who was a pagan, Moabite, Gentile, knowing absolutely nothing about God at all. Even Naomi was no good as a witness, was she? But she came back with her, and the Lord blessed her richly. And we know, of course, she married Boaz. So in one sense, as you see later on, Boaz restores Naomi and her inheritance, and probably bought back the farm that she'd lost. And in the same way, one day, the Lord is going to restore Israel to her inheritance, spiritually, in the land of Israel. But you see, Naomi, as I said, is a type of Israel. Would you go to Jeremiah 13, verse 7? This is the one thing. This is
Jeremiah
chapter 30 and verse 7, please. This is in order for the Lord to draw Israel back to himself, in the same way he's using certain circumstances like Boaz to draw Naomi back to himself. And you can see this gradually happening as she acknowledges the Lord. This is all the work of the Lord, she says. But in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, alas for that day is great so that none is like it, and it is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's a picture of Israel. Israel is another name for Jacob there. There's a time of great trouble coming for Israel, and Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. When will that be? Well, Zechariah chapter 14 speaks about the Lord coming again, his feet standing on the Mount of Olives. He's promised to come. Go back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60. And you see the link in Isaiah 60.
In Jeremiah 30, verse 7,
yes.
Is that where Satan will possess a world leader?
Yes, it's the time of the great tribulation when the Antichrist is on the Israel in world power and world control, yes. And he then brings the nations against Israel, Zechariah 12 to 14, those three chapters relate that. And it seems that all is up for Jerusalem, half Jerusalem will be taken, many people are killed, those who become believers amongst them will flee to Petra, up to the mountains, what Jesus told them to do in the Gospels. And so there's persecution in the land of Israel, all the nations headed up by Antichrist coming to persecute Israel. They seem all end up, and then the Lord will come to the feet stand on the Mount of Olives when they call upon him.
Yeah.
Now this is the same in chapter 60 of Isaiah. Chapter 60? 60, 60, 60. Isaiah chapter 60, 60. And in verse 13, you've got the glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, which is rebuilt millennial temple. And I will make the place of my feet glorious, which will be Jerusalem. The idea of Lebanon is the wonderful cedar tree of Lebanon, which are called the trees planted by the Lord. They are majestic trees. You know, Lebanon, cedar is a very lovely, gracious, strong tree, isn't it, with the huge boughs. It's a beautifully graceful tree. I love it. And the cypress, lovely green upright tree as well, always green. And the box tree, all of them, with their beauty, with their strength, with their life in them. And the Lord is that which is going to do for Israel. I will come, that will beautify the place of my sanctuary. It's the rebuilt millennial temple where the Lord will be. And I'll make the place of my feet glorious. And many places where it says, I will make Israel. I mentioned two places last week, but I want you to turn to them just to refresh your memory. Now, we're not moving out of the context. The context is Naomi being blessed with her inheritance. This is a picture of Israel's future inheritance. Now, would you go to back? We did this last week. I'll recover it. Psalm 132. It's good to compare scripture with scripture to get the full meaning of what we're reading about. Psalm 132.
That'd be verse 13.
We'll start there. You'd like to read them, Colin, please?
For the Lord has chosen Zion, Jerusalem.
Yeah, carry on. Let's read down to 18.
He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread.
He certainly did.
I will also clothe her priests with salvation. Saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish.
That's when Jesus reigns as king. That's right. The horn of David means the strength of David, Jesus, the son of David, and the lamp of my anointed, the Hebrew for anointed, is Messiah, Mashiach. It's all about the Lord Jesus restoring Zion that he's chosen, Israel, Jerusalem, and his people. This is my resting place forever. So you see, we're not out of context here. And that is what he particularly says there. Finally, as we travel around a bit, let's go to Ezekiel. We mentioned it last time. The last verse of the last chapter in Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48. Last verse, 35. Someone kindly read that verse.
Sorry, Dom.
Ezekiel chapter 48, the last chapter of Ezekiel 48, and the very last verse in the book of Ezekiel 35. Ezekiel 48, verse 35, which in Hebrews is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That's the measurement of the area given for the city of Jerusalem and the millennial temple in it. And the Lord is there, as we read in Isaiah.
So, is that the earthly Jerusalem?
Yes, New Jerusalem does come up to later on after the end of the millennium. Maybe in the millennium, not sure. But there's a wonderful picture, you see. The wonderful thing is this, is that Naomi is restored. And the wonderful thing is that Ruth came back with Naomi to Israel. This is a picture when I was part of the church coming back with the Lord to Israel. See, all the prophetic types here are absolutely marvellous. It's good to look and compare scripture with scripture so we don't get things wrong. So all that's very important here. He's coming to sit on the very throne of David, as was promised in the Davidic covenant. Right, let's move on a bit now. The places in scripture where it says, in that day and at that time, which is very precise. Well, I'm going to nip around again to the scriptures. At the end of Daniel, there's a prophet Hosea. Would you go to chapter 2 of Hosea? After Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 2. Again, this is what the Lord says to concerning Israel in the future. This is the inheritance restored to Naomi, a picture of Israel, by the kinsman redeemer, by as a type of Christ, a wealthy king. Chapter 2 of Hosea, then 14 to 16. This is what the Lord said. Israel is far from God. There's a picture of her being in the wilderness. Verse 14, chapter 2. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, I will attract her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfort to her. I'll give her the vineyards from there, blessing, fruitfulness, valley of Achor, the door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth when Israel was young, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt, and it shall be in that day. You see, it's precise. There's a day coming when God is going to bless Israel, contrary to what a lot of the church is saying. It shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that you will call me my husband. Now, after this in Ruth, Boaz takes Ruth to be her husband. He's going to be her husband. She's going to be his wife. He's going to be her husband. This is the scene here. You will call me my husband, no longer call me my master. If you like, before the marriage, he was the master. There's a time coming in Israel, the father is going to be, we're going to be the bride of Christ, it's going to be the wife of Jehovah. You won't call me master anymore. really quite amazing that is. So this is it. So let's go back to Ruth now. Now Ruth, as we look at the whole scene leading up to now, including chapter 1, the actual story here of particularly Naomi, and Ruth, she lost her husband, so she was a widow. So with this, when Naomi said, "Don't call me blessed anymore, Naomi, call me Mara." So Ruth, in a sense, at the beginning, is a story of sadness. She lost her husband, her two sons had died, she was bereft of everything. And 10 years in the wilderness of Moab, away in foreign enemy territory, she lost everything or her inheritance. So Ruth is a story of sadness and sorrow. It's a picture of distress and death. Lost her husband, and the two sons died. Two Gentile widows, Orpah, who went back to join her people, but Ruth stayed with her. What a blessing that was in the end to Naomi, as we know that. Sadness, sorrow, distress, death, bitterness, but it all ends in restoration. She got her inheritance back. Ruth was able to glean and get all that they needed from Boaz. Ruth meets Boaz. Love story. That's what's developing. So eventually, it all leads to joy. Now go to Matthew chapter 1. This, of course, is a genealogy of Jesus, isn't it? Many names here. I'd like to go, if you will, in chapter 1 of Matthew to verse 5. See the background of what we're looking at here. Salmon, we got Boaz by Rahab. Rahab was the mother of Boaz. You know what she was like in character, don't you? And yet, you see, the Lord took Rahab because she looked after the spies, put the red cord in the window, and she was rescued when all the rest of Jericho was all destroyed. And Rahab was brought into Israel, just like Ruth was brought into Israel, in the same pattern. And Salmon, he Israeli, married Rahab, and Boaz was the son. So if you like, Boaz was a half Canaanite, half Gentile pagan. And then you've got Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. Ruth was a great grandmother of King David, all in the line there. Like in the book of Esther, the Lord was working behind the scenes. I know his name is mentioned here, but you don't see God actually in action. The Lord's not actually in action, as indeed he is, but you don't see it too much. You see into it. It's the same with the book of Esther, and the Lord's name is not mentioned. But that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Boaz was a son of Rahab, Canaanite, pagan, harlot, and therefore he had a Gentile. Ruth was. She was great-grandmother David, so he has Gentile in his blood. So Jesus has Gentile blood in him, in his humanity. Yes. Eventually, you see, you must say that. Rahab and Ruth, brought in from the cold, if you like, into the blessing of the Lord through being married into Israel. And you and I, in a sense, we're not, as it were, grafted into Israel. We're grafted into Israel's blessings. Because Israel is in unbelief and not grafted into that, as I said before. So here we are, what a wonderful picture, what a wonderful story is. And in a sense, looking at Ruth chapter 1, I mentioned where Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi, don't call me blessed anymore. Call me Mara, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Well, she made a mistake to go out from Bethlehem, it's true. And they certainly weren't allowed to marry outside Israel, that was true. But the sons did. Elimelech died, and Israel was without a king. So this is, in a sense, a time of great blessing for Ruth, and a particular blessing for Naomi, in the meeting of Boaz with Ruth, and the way in which she was greatly blessed by him. So in other words, we have divine providence working behind the scenes for his purposes, because out of all this comes Messiah Jesus, out of the most obscure, unlikely ways. Pardon? Naomi's sons, oh yes, yes, they'd gone with her, see, out into exile in Moab, yeah. She lost her husband and the two Israeli sons, yes, Hebrew sons. She lost everything, husband, and for anyone to be a widow and losing her husband is almost a disgrace, almost outcast, no one ever looks after a widow. That's why the Lord gave the command to look after the widows and the strangers and the orphans, because nobody else would look after them. And he said, "You better do it." He says to Israel, for us too, isn't it? So there is divine providence in this whole story, like in the book of Esther. to preserve Israel. No question about it. No Boaz, no Jesus. Divine providence. No question about that. And how benevolent Boaz was towards Ruth and Naomi. God is a benevolent God, is he not? I'd like to look at some scriptures on this. First of all, in chapter 2, verse 14, about Boaz, we looked at this before. He says, Ruth, come and dine with me. This is what he's saying. And there's a time coming when you and I are going to dine with the believers of Israel from out of the tribulation, as well as Jewish believers in the church today, and us Gentiles in the church. We're going to have a great celebration. We're going to dine with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
At the marriage supper of
praise
the Lamb.
God. And that happens on earth, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does. If we can all get into Israel. But Israel is going to be very big then, bigger than France, because everything that was promised to Abraham will be fulfilled. The whole size of the land, going right up to half of Iraq, right down through the whole of Jordan. That'll be Israel then, so there's plenty of room for us. We come back for that time, and to rule with the Lord as well.
Need a big tablecloth.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in chapter 2, in verse 13, when this is Ruth speaking to Boaz, let me find favour in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not one of your like one of your maidservants. The Hebrew here means, when it says you have spoken kindly to me, if you've got any marginal reading, you'll find that you've spoken to my heart. Spoken kindly to my heart. That's the meaning of the Hebrew here. It's in the margin too, if you will see. In other words, it means you've spoken to my heart, not just to my ears. How important it is that you and I don't only hear the word of God with our ears, we hear it with our heart. Heart, Lord.
Amen.
Give us a hearing heart. Hearing with the ear only. It's not good enough. So there's an acceptance here. And it's really wonderful. There's an abundance, as we looked in John 10. And with Naomi, she moved from bitterness to blessing. Ruth had come, lost her husband, a Moabite. Just imagine, apart from Naomi, she knows no one and nothing, never been to Israel. She's a pagan Moabitess, an enemy of Israel, shown to you and me.
Amen.
Grace and mercy. So greater than Boaz, but he's a redeemer. But he's a kinsman to Israel. He's going to redeem Israel. A kinsman redeemer to Israel. That's the prophetic type. It's very wonderful. Just finally, we close up. We're going to look at some psalms. Gloria, we'll take them in order. The first one is Psalm 68. And we come to an end. Psalm 68, please. Didn't realize you were this late. Psalm 68. Look at verse 19. Related to their story, related to your life. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Mm. And it says, Selah means pause and think of that. How about that?
Mm.
Mm. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with
benefits. Love, mercy, and grace.
Yes. Boaz gave to Ruth her daily need. Give us our daily bread. Next psalm is 84. Psalm 84. Mm-hmm. And look at verses 11 and 12. I love this 11th verse, one of my favourite verses. Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, a protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. Well, there it is. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in you. Wonderful. He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. That applied to Amen. Ruth, who stood absolutely glued to Naomi, if you like. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will go. Nothing will part us except death.
Verse 11 says, the Lord will give grace. That's grace now and yes. glory later.
Yeah, that's right. He won't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly in the righteousness of Christ. Lovely verses. Now, go to picture in a sense in Psalm 85 is the same. Look in Psalm 85, verse 10. Next verse, Psalm, I mean. Psalm 85, verse 10. This is what happens to you and me. Mercy and truth are met together. Where did they meet? At the cross. Mercy met at the cross. Truth met at the cross. But Jesus is the truth. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That was at the cross too. Our righteousness comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The peace of God. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Jesus sprang out of the earth. Resurrection. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good. Our land will yield its increase, that's Israel. righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Following the steps of Jesus, mm-hmm. make his footsteps, that's walking uprightly. Last one, Psalm 103, a few verses at the beginning. Psalm 103, this sums it all up. The blessings of Boaz through to Ruth in abundance, much gleaning, much provision for her. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, you certainly did for Naomi, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, you certainly did, who satisfies your mouth with good things, yes, so that your youth is renewed as the eagle's. What a new strength came to Naomi. When we get to the end of the story, which might be next week, you'll find all the women there give great joy to Naomi because Boaz and Naomi said the family again. Mm. Although she was a grandmother, she'd been given a son, her inheritance. Yeah. Wonderful love story at the end, you know. So forget not all his benefits. The Lord has been so benevolent to us. Though we live in a sense of social welfare, never forget the benevolence of Almighty God. Naomi experienced that in the end. Ruth certainly did. Boaz certainly rejoiced because he married Ruth. Very happy love story at the end. Mm. Amen for today.
Amen. Thank you, Don. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Mary, would you like to close the prayer, please? No, thank you.